श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सारे गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपी गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। न्यू द्वारका धाम की जय। Their Divine Lordship Shishi Rukmini Dorkadish Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shishi Jagannath Baladev Shimati Subhadra Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shishi Gornitai Kijai. Gurantara Shimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai. Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Kijai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glorious Tolasama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious Tolasama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glorious Tolasama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 14, text number 29. And today we'll be discussing about Pisacha. Does anybody know what that means? Yes, like a devilish evil spirit, ghost, demon, hobgoblin. They're actually followers of Lord Shiva, a lot of them. Other translations was like urchin, infidel, madman. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita 9:25, it says, Prabhupada said in the purport, this Pisacha worship is called black arts or black magic. And there's many men who practice this black art, and they think it's spiritualism. But actually, it's completely materialistic. So today we'll discuss about this Pisacha. Not that Lord Shiva is, but maybe we are. Let's see. Brahmadayo yat krita setupala. Yat karanam vishvamidam cha maya. Agya kariyasya pisacha charya. Aho vibhum nascharitam vidambanam. Brahmadayo yat krita setupala. Yat karanam vishvamidam cha maya. Agya kariyasya pisacha charya. Aho vibhunas charitam vidambanam. Brahmadayo yat krita setupala. Yat karanam vishvamidam cha maya. Agya kariyasya pisacha charya. Aho vibhum nascharitam vidambanam. Yat karanam vishvami dam cha maya. Yeah. Adayo yat krita se tu pala. Yat karanam vishvam chayama chamaya. Gatsyadam shakasasacharya. Kariya shapi sacha charya. Vaishnavis. Padmadayo yat krita se tu pala. Yat karanam vishvamidam chamaya. Agya kariya shapi sacha charya. Aho vibhuma staritam vibhamam. Pamadayo yat krita setu pala. Yat karana vishwamitam chamaya. Karana. Vashacharya Aho vibhunas charitam vidambanam Amadado yat krita setu pala Yasabhayam Vashacharya Brahma Adaya. Demigods like Brahma. Yat. Whose. Krita. Activities. Setu. Religious rites. Pala. Observers. Yat, one who is, Karanam, the origin of, Vishvam, the universe, Idam, this, Cha, also, Maya, material energy, Agyakari, order carrier, Yasya, whose? Pisacha. Devilish. Charya. Activity. Aho. O my Lord. Vibhumanaha. Of the great. Charitam. Character. Vidambanam. Simply imitation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Demigods like Brahma also follow the religious rites observed by him. He is the controller of the material energy, which causes the creation of the material world. He is great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. Purport. Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga, the controller of the material energy. Durga is personified material energy, and Lord Shiva, being her husband, is the controller of the material energy. He is also the incarnation of the mode of ignorance and one of the three deities representing the Supreme Lord. As a representative, Lord Shiva is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is very great, and his renunciation of all material enjoyment is an ideal example of how one should be materially unattached. One should therefore follow in the footsteps and be unattached to matter, not imitate his uncommon acts like drinking poison. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Sulakya Chakshushun Maitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurvenama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Tubhishtha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitadam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Demigods like Brahma also follow the religious rites observed by him. He is the controller of the material energy, which causes the creation of the material world. He is great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. So this is the last verse of the conversation between Kashyapa Muni and his wife Diti, where Kashyapa Muni agrees to fulfill Diti's desire for sexual union to conceive a child. But he requested her to wait a few moments because of the inauspicious time associated with the presence of Lord Shiva and his accompanying ghosts. And also Kashyapa Muni here is explaining the various aspects of Lord Shiva's nature and his greatness. And he's highlighting his seemingly devilish characteristics and mere imitation. So, because it's just imitating that. And even the demigods, they follow his religious rites. So this is the point here. So as mentioned here, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. And we see that three predominating deities. There's Lord Brahma, and there's Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. So that's what it says there, that he's in the incarnation of the mode of ignorance, and one of the three deities representing the Supreme Lord. And so as his representative, Lord Shiva is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's the same potency, but different at the same time. He's in a completely different category. It's actually Krishna that touches the material energy in the form of Lord Shiva. So it's, as described, the particular time is most inauspicious. Why? Because just see, these horrible-looking ghosts and constant companions of Lord Shiva are visible at that time. And this is described in previous verses. So this is, we see Lord Shiva sitting on the back of his bull carrier and traveling at this time accompanied by all these ghosts. And they follow him for their own welfare. And this Shiva, he's actually Rudra, the king of the ghosts. And they worship him so they can actually be guided towards self-realization. So as mentioned by Prabhupada, or in the verse, he's great, and therefore his devilish characteristics are simply imitation. So in case you didn't notice, the ones that were following him, here's a close-up of a hobgoblin. So they follow Lord Shiva. So how do you show mercy to something like that? Or the demons, show them mercy? But Lord Shiva is so merciful to them. And these ghostly characteristics, they actually worship Lord Shiva so they could be gradually guided towards a path of self-realization. So Lord Shiva is very merciful to so many people. And he's so unattached, he doesn't care how he looks. It's just imitation that he looks devilish. But actually, you know, he's associating with a devilish type of people. And we see that happening so everywhere today, actually. And I heard he said, Lord Shiva is so merciful that it's said that in Varanasi, you know, in Kashidham, that if you die there, you'll attain liberation by the grace of Lord Shiva. But how is that? Because anyone in that area of Varanasi, who leaves their body, Lord Shiva, he comes there and he whispers in their ear the name of Lord Ram. So this is how it is. So it's not that Lord Shiva has independent power to give liberation, you see, but he's completely dependent on the Supreme Lord also. So his very great and his renunciation of all material enjoyment is an ideal example of how we should be materially unattached. So, described again, we should therefore follow in his footsteps, be unattached to matter, and not imitate this uncommon act like drinking poison. So in fact, in the fourth canto, there's a second chapter there. There's a verse that says, one who takes a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva or who follows such principles will certainly become an atheist and be diverted from transcendental scriptural injunctions. So this is very important there. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada mentions how sometimes we see that devotees of Lord Shiva, they try to imitate him. And for example, Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison, but others try to imitate him by trying to take poison in the form of intoxicants. Prabhupada says like Ganga, like Ganja, like marijuana. So here's the curse, that if someone follows such principles, he'll become an infidel and turn against the principles of Vedic regulation. So it's said that such devotees of Lord Shiva will be such chastra, paripantinaha, which means opposed to the conclusions of the scriptures. So Lord Shiva says, as we heard from Gauranga Prabhu, that the characteristics of a Vaishnava leader is that he's willing to go through pain while trying to serve others. And he quotes a nice verse, that verse from the eighth canto. And this is a translation of that verse. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. So there's a nice purport given by Srila Prabhupada, and I'd just like to point out a couple paragraphs in there. He said there that there's different kinds of welfare activities in the mature world, but the supreme welfare activity is spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under the obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, in the Shastra says, and it quotes a verse from the first canto, one should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. And what is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. And the Lord is automatically pleased with him. And if the Lord's pleased with you, what's left there to achieve? And even if one doesn't ask the Lord for anything, the Lord supplies him whatever he wants. So therefore, the best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness, the Lord himself also comes to mitigate suffering humanity. So we know that verse when, you know, whenever, wherever there's a decline in religious principles, Krishna descends himself. So the Shastras conclude that spreading Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world because the ultimate benefit it bestows upon people in general, it, you know, gives them Krishna consciousness, and that is what and how we become recognized by the Lord very quickly. So in the Madhya Lila, there's a verse where Lord Chaitanya is continuing to speak here, and this is in the 25, how the residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, to say nothing of ordinary living entities, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot be considered on the level of Vishnu or Narayan. If one considers them as such, he's immediately considered an offender and an atheist. So these words that we're using is the Pasandi. That's been translated from Pashandi. And here in the purport, it's described there that the Pasandi refers to non-believers engaged in fruitive activities and to idolatrous worshippers of many demigods. Pasandis do not believe in one God, the Supreme Personality, Lord Vishnu. They think that all the demigods have the same potency as he. So this is the definition of a Pasandi given in the Tantra Shastra. And this is what it says. A Pasandi is one who considers the great demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So we see here. And Prabhupada mentions there very interestingly. He says, the Pasandis were against the Hare Krishna movement of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now we see practically that they also do not like our humble attempts to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. On the contrary, these Pasandis say that we are spoiling the Hindu religion because people all over the world are accepting Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the version of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. The Pasandis condemn this movement, and sometimes they accuse Vaishnavas from foreign countries of not being bona fide. So Prabhupada's saying they existed in the time of Lord Chaitanya, and they exist now. So despite their activities, however, Lord Chaitanya predicted that this will triumph. And Prabhupada quoted the verse, Prithiviti achi yata nagarari gram. Sarvatra prachara haibi moranam. So in every town and village, the chanting of Hare Krishna will be heard. So no one can check this Krishna consciousness movement because it's based on the benediction of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what happens. To the foolish people, they are actually punished if they say that, you know, other living entities or other personalities, they can worship them. But actually they become punished by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj. And they're quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he says two things interestingly about Pasandis. And he said, first, if someone who considers the individual living entities who are under the control of the illusory energy Maya to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this perspective disregards the transcendental nature and supreme position of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the influence of material qualities and the illusory energy. So that's what his definition of a Pasandi. And then secondly, he says, a Pasandi is also someone who denies the existence of the spirit soul, the individual self, and fails to distinguish between spirit and matter. This viewpoint disregards the superior potency of the Lord and fails to recognize the fundamental difference between the eternal spiritual nature of the self and the temporary material world. So just see both these aspects that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is highlighting as deviations from the Vaishnava understanding of the Supreme Lord and the individual self and our relationship with spirit and matter. So there's many quotes, especially in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it's describing how there's actually a pastime describing how Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not feeling ecstasy because today I talked to some atheists in the city today. And then actually he's describing there in the purport there, they're describing so many nice examples of people that are Pasandis. So he goes on and on describing so many things. And one of the things he says here, Those who decorate their foreheads with ashes from the crematorium, those who carry the bones of dead bodies, those who wear non-Vedic signs, those who keep matted hair and wear tree bark, although they are not vanaprastas, and those who are attached to non-Vedic activities are certainly pasandis. Just another one here. O Goddess Parvati, those brahmanas who do not decorate their arms with the marks of the conch and disc, and who do not decorate their foreheads with the mark of tilak, which are most dear to Sri Hari, are certainly pasandis. So it just goes on, quote after quote, from so many different scriptures analyzing what a pasandi is. So it's very clear what a pasandi. So we actually we see here how it was described in the purport that Lord Shiva and his consort, his wife, they actually control the material energy. So as it said, the actual creation takes place by Lord Shiva and Durga. But actually we see here, Mahavishnu simply glances. And from that glance, all the jivas, all their karma, the time factor is set in motion, which makes everything happen. And then actually the nature of each soul is also like our individual propensities, which is called swabhava of the soul, is actually come through that glance. And actually Lord Shiva, and who is the husband of Prakriti Durga, comes through that glance. So we see everything's created through the glance of Lord of Mahavishnu. And we see Lord Shiva and Parvati, they actually worship Lord Vishnu. And what is Lord Shiva? What does he meditate on? He meditates on Lord Vishnu, Sankarshan. You can see in that image there. So it's interesting, this word demigod is actually not in the Vedic literatures. Probably the closest thing you could find is Upadeva, which means like a secondary, minor, or like a semi-demigod, like Gandharvas and things like that. But Prabhupada used that word because he's trying to relate to us in our language, an ancient language that we've never even heard before. So this Upadeva, it's described from the Sanskrit word. It's composed of Upa and Deva. Upa generally means near or close to, and Deva means deity or God. So it can be translated as an assistant deity or a subordinate deity. So like lesser deities or divine beings. So this is what Prabhupada quote, every time you talk about the demigods or different, you know, living entities, calls them, you know, not God, but demigod. So there's many quotes, and these are from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's one thing it says here, such personality as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints of which they are the head, are also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods. All of us surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living beings. So they realize that he's the master of everyone. He's the supreme controller. Everyone else is his servants. And he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And everybody is his subordinate. So there's many quotes also that talks about that. Because he's the master. No one controls him. He doesn't have a mature body. He's the cause of all causes. He's the master of all masters and of the senses. And no one is his father, and no one is his Lord. So this is the Supreme. So it was interesting. I met someone the other day. I was doing a yard sale. Young boy. He used to actually come to the temple, but you could see he was really in a bad way. He was addicted, actually, to drugs and stuff. And I was like, what happened to you? And he's like, you know, I'm really suffering. I'm suffering so much. And he goes, I'm lonely. But, you know, they're suffering and they're trying to counteract it by drugs, by poison. They have the vacuum in the heart and they're trying to fill the vacuum, you know, by lusting after things. So I was just thinking, what kind of pain do you want? the pain of being a servant leader or a selfish madman. You know, and it's described in the 12th canto. In the age of Kali, people's minds will always be agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation. My dear king, and will always be disturbed by fear and drought. They will lack adequate clothing, food and drink, will be unable to properly rest, have sex, or bathe themselves, and will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually become to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures. So the symptoms that are described here, we can see it's prevalent in many countries around the world, and it's gradually spreading everywhere else. It's engulfed by impiety and materialism. And in the 11th canto, it's written there in one of the purports by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And basically what they're saying is that those who are advanced in spiritual science of Krishna consciousness were trying to avoid contact with women and low-class men in general, you know, because of lusty sudras and, you know, these things like that. And they're addicted to these materialistic habits, smoking, drinking, women hunting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned the sadhus or saintly persons to avoid intimate connection with women of low class and low class men. And we see a practical result, a restriction is that women and lower class men are often bereft of the opportunity to hear the glories. So if we avoid them, then they're going to be bereft of the opportunity to hear the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually they're quoting this, the king is being instructed by Sri Chamasa Muni, and he said you should give mercy to these fallen people. And we see this is what Srila Prabhupada did. And in fact, he was criticized in India for giving all classes of men and women the opportunity to take part in Krishna consciousness movement. These caste brahmanas of India and other persons who are only concerned with ritualistic formalities, they were shocked that Srila Prabhupada allowed women and persons born in low-class families to take part freely in the Vaishnav culture and even become initiated Brahmana Vaishnavas. However, Prabhupada, he understood that in this age, practically everyone is fallen. And he saw that if spiritual life were to be limited to the so-called higher castes, there would be no possibility of spreading a genuine spiritual movement all over the world. So we see, even in this chapter, Kashyapa Muni told Diti that we respectfully worship the remnants of his foodstuff and we vow to accept what is rejected by him. So this is what Lord Shiva. But just think of the mercy we have today. We have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's so great, and the holy name of Krishna is so potent that any man, woman, or child, and even animal can be purified by chanting Hare Krishna and by taking prasadam, the sanctified food remnants of Krishna, or to speak of Lord Shiva. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, no sincere person is restricted from achieving the highest perfection of self-realization. Whereas the impersonalists and the yogis, they tend to be selfishly concerned with their individual realization and achievement of mystic power. So it's always been the custom of the Vaishnavas to be merciful to all classes of living entities. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he took the pain to come to the West and preach Krishna consciousness to the most fallen. And he's the best of the servant leaders. And he created many more Vaishnava leaders who are willing to go through pain while trying to save others from suffering. We don't understand Prabhupada's greatness. He's so powerful. Once actually one of his disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, thinking Prabhupada has all these mystic powers, Prabhupada, do you ever go see the demigods? And Prabhupada answered, why should I go see the demigods? If they like, they can come to me. So just like, you know, like the way to understand this, just say that you're the friend of the president. Do you think the ministers, that you should go to the ministers? No, the ministers will come to you. Why should you go to them? So in fact, many demigods came to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. He even said, like in a hall in New York they rented, nobody came. And the devotees apologized to Prabhupada. And he said, oh, Lord Brahma was there. Indra was there. And I think it was in London or England somewhere where he said Narada Muni was here. In fact, they installed the deity of Narada Muni because that's where he appeared, Prabhupada said. So in the purport in the 11th canto, it says here that Lord Krishna himself also states that any person, despite his material situation of life, can become the most dear devotee of the Lord by full surrender of the lotus feet of Krishna. So we see Srila Prabhupada. So the fallen people of Kali Yuga should take advantage of the special mercy of the Vaishnavas and join the Krishna conscious movement to perfect their lives and go back home, back to Godhead. So there's a verse I quote there on that image. And basically what it's saying is, it's expressing the gratitude and the recognition that meeting a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by the will of providence. And so the age of Kali, the present age, is described as dangerous and detrimental to human beings' good qualities. And so human life is meant for self-realization. But the age of Kali, people have forgotten this purpose. So the lifespan of this age will decrease, and people will lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. And this verse acknowledges that the age possesses great difficulties for those seeking self-realization. And people who are absorbed in sense gratification and neglect self-realization due to madness and ignorance. The educational system is focused on sense gratification rather than spiritual growth. So learned individuals need to be cautious in the age of Kali and seek guidance from enlightened spiritual authorities, following in the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya. One should accept a bona fide representative of Sri Suta Goswami as the captain of the ship. The ship represents the message of Lord Krishna, which can be found in the form of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse emphasizes the challenging nature of the age of Kali and the importance of seeking spiritual guidance to navigate through and achieve self-realization. So this is very nice. Actually, there's one thing I forgot to mention. I don't know if I put it in here. Let me see if I could find it. I think it's in the previous slide. So, I guess I didn't put it in here. But it's talking about Srila Prabhupada. He actually himself came from India, you know, in his late, you know, in, what is he, 60s, 70s? And he started a worldwide movement, opened 108 temples, you know, he started many restaurants. You know, he made Hare Krishna a household name in every town and village. He initiated 5,000 disciples. Prabhupada said, practically, I have came here with only so many rupees, but in every major city, I have a palace in the world. So just see, it's not that devotees aren't ambitious, but they are the most ambitious, you know, to help spread Krishna consciousness and help the fallen, suffering, conditioned souls in this world. So that's Srila Prabhupada. He's our captain of the ship. And we follow him and his followers. So Jai, I'd like to end there. And maybe anybody has any comments, questions, or realizations? Okay. Well, thank you then for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.